Good morning, everybody.
We went through the last chapter in Shmuel Bet last week, and we're going to go over it now to discuss a number of the issues that are raised. Let's begin at the beginning of the chapter again. Vayosef af Hashem laharod b'Yisrael, the anger of God burned against Israel. Vayosef et David b'hem, and he incited David against them, Lamor saying, Lech menei et Yisrael vet Yehuda. Go count Israel and Yehuda. So we were troubled with all of the problems over here. Number one, it would seem as though Jews had done something wrong in the past, and therefore the anger of God comes out again. Vayosef, the word Vayosef means there was something that Vayosef means an added, continued, which means that God was angry with the Jewish people before, and now he's angry with them even more. And in a sense, the means that is used in order to punish the Jewish people is that he incites David against his own people. And what does it? What does David do? David instructs Yoav to count the Jewish people, to take a census. So we have to know, first of all, what was wrong with a census? What's wrong with taking a census? And what's going to happen at the end? At the end, of course, there's going to be David is going to be given a choice. Should there be a number of years of famine? Should there be war that will come as a punishment? Or should there be plague? And he chooses plague because he would rather fall into the hands of God than fall into the hands of man. That's exactly what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
In Torah, Parashat Kitisa, Kitisa et Rosh Bnei Yisrael, when you will count the heads of the children of Israel, Kitisa et Rosh Bnei Yisrael, Lifkudehem, according to their numbers. So you should know, you should not count them Lugul Golotam by their heads, so that there shall not be Negev, there shall not be a plague in them. And therefore, how are you supposed to count them? You're supposed to count them by each Jew giving a half a shekel. It's right there at the beginning of Parashat Ki Tisa. One moment. We'll give you the exact psukim. When you count the heads of the children of Israel, lifkudehem according to their numbers, v'natnu ish kofeh nafsho. Each person should give ransom for his life, l'Hashem, to God, b'fkod al tam, when you count them, v'lo yiyeh bohem negev, so that there shall not be a plague, b'fkod al tam, when you count them. It means quite clearly, and the Gemara, in fact, in the Sechta Yuma says, Gemara says the following: Kol hamona et Yisrael, whoever counts the Jewish people, over belav, transgresses a negative commandment. Shen ne'emar, because it says, and this is a pasuk in Sefer Hosea, v'hayom mistar b'nei Yisrael, the number of the children of Israel shall be kechol hayam, like the sand by the seashore, asher lo yimad, that cannot be measured. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, Rav Nachman, the son of Yitzchak, said, Over b'shnei lavin, if you count the Jewish people, you transgress two negative commandments. Because in that pasuk in Hosea, it says that the children of Israel shall be as many as the sand by the seashore, asher lo yimad, that shall not be measured, v'lo yisafer, and shall not be counted. So the Gemara says you're prohibited from counting the Jewish people. Okay? In order to get you into what's happening over here, I want to read two brief but extremely important statements of the Ramban. One is a Ramban at the beginning of the Sefer Bamidbar, and another one is in the middle of Sefer Bamidbar. The Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and remember, Bamidbar is, what's Bamidbar called in English?
Numbers.
It is Sefer, which is a translation of how the Gemara refers to Sefer Bamidbar as Sefer HaPikudim, the Sefer in which Jews are counted. They are counted in Parshat Bamidbar, and they are counted again in Parshat Pinchas. The first census of the Jewish people is taken in Midbar Sinai, and then 40 years later when they are Ba'arvat Moab. And what does it say at the beginning of Bamidbar? Su'u et Rosh Kol Adat Yisrael, same word that is used in Parshat Ki Tisa, Su'u, raise, uplift, the head of the entire congregation of the children of Israel, Lemishtachotam, according to their families, Lebeit Avotam, from their father's homes, b'mispar shemot, the number of names, kol zachar, every male legulgalotam, by their heads. The counting that is done in Bamidbar is miben esrim shana v'mala, from age 20 and up. Who's being counted? Kol yotzei tzavah b'Yisrael, all of those who go out to war. Under age 20, one didn't go to war. The Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar says the following. I'll just read and translate a little bit. Inyan pekida pakod, to count, and we're going to see in a few moments also later on this year, we're going to see that there are different words, four different words that are used in Hebrew to describe counting, four different words. Each one is going to have its own meaning. The Malbim here is going to point out that of the four words that are used to denote counting, only three of them are used here in this last chapter of Sefer Shmuel. One is not, so we'll save that for later. The fact that one of those terms is not used here is going to be very significant. The Ramban. The Ramban says, Inyan Pekida, the idea of Pekida, Zikaron v'hashgacha. Now, it doesn't mean only to count, but it means something a bit more than counting. Because obviously by counting, you also remember something. There, one, two, three, and one, in a sense, watches over it. As it says, Vahashem Pakad et Sarah. So that same word that in other contexts would mean to count, over here it means that he remembered. When you count something, you remember it. That's really the meaning of the word, wherever you have it. Lo yimolet mehen ish al dato. It means we're going to count them so that nobody is forgotten. Also, when you count them, then it becomes important that each person should give a half shekel. You don't simply count Jews. They have to give a half of shekel so that you don't count the people, but you count the half shekels. Over here it says at the beginning of Bamidbar, Tifkodotam, you shall count them, Lirmos. This comes to hint to Moshe, Shalo Yisperen, he shouldn't count them, Rakshayitnu Kofer Nafshon, each one should give ransom for his life, half of a shekel, Ubehem Yashgiach, and he's going to check and count the half shekel. Vomar B'David, says the Ramban over here, by David it says that he wanted to know Mispar Mifkad Ha'am. Mispar Mifkad Ha'am. It says at one place, I want to know Upigdu et Ha'am, V'yadati et Mispar Ha'am. Says the, and in Pasuk 9, in Pasuk 9 in this chapter it says, Vayiten Yoav et Mispar Mifkad Ha'am El HaMelech. It says the Ramban the following. Ki Yoda Misparam Bifkidat HaKofer. The Ramban says, how did he know the number of Jews? He knew the number of Jews by virtue of the fact that it was Mispar Mifkad Ha'am. Now listen very carefully how the Ramban explains this. The Ramban explains that even here, when David counted the Jewish people, they were counted by virtue of their having given a half a shekel. There are those, of course, Rashi
and others who say that no, the sin was, the terrible mistake that David made was that he didn't ask people to give a half a shekel, and they counted Jews. We're searching for what went wrong here. Rashi's opinion is that what went wrong was they didn't give a half a shekel. The Ramban and other Mefarshim have difficulty with the Rashi. That's a Rashi in Chumash. And the reason why they have difficulty with it is we know that Yoav didn't want the census. Yoav was concerned about taking the census. So they ask, Yoav is the one who's doing the job in the field. What's his problem? Let him ask everybody to give a half a shekel. Did David command him to do the census in a way that was prohibited? Let Yoav do it in the right way. The Ramban goes one step further and he says, it cannot be that David made such a mistake that any child would have known. And the proof that he didn't make that mistake is because in Pasuk 9 over here, I mean, this is a Ramban in Chumash that is explaining a Pasuk in Tanakh, because it says, Vayiten Yoav et mispar mifkad ha'am, Yoav gave the number of mifkad ha'am. It didn't say that he gave mispar ha'am, the number of the am. He gave mispar mifkad ha'am. What is mifkad ha'am? That which is a reminder of the people. What is it that is a reminder of the people? The half shekel. The fact that it uses the term mispar mifkad ha'am. So the Ramban says, ki yodam misparam, this pasuk means that he knew their number, bifkidat hakofer, because he counted the half shekels that were a source of forgiveness for them. Ki rachoku etzli, the Ramban says, it's just too far for me to accept, shelo yizaher David, that David should not be careful, bamesha amar hakosav. Can't be that David simply was unconcerned or uncareful about something that is so clearly stated in the pasuk in Parashat Ki Tisa v'lo yihyeh bohem negev, there shall not be any kind of plague in them when you count them, therefore every Jew should give a half a shekel. Don't we even know that you don't count Jews? Which child doesn't know? Nisht eins, nisht zwei, not one, not two, not three, or Hoshia es hamecho, uvorech es nachal asecha. We have all sorts of psukim that have 10 words in it. We know that you don't just count Jews. That's the question. That's what the Ramban is bothered with. So therefore, the Ramban says, that's exactly what Yoav did. Yoav had them give a half shekel. That's why Vayiten Yoav, Yoav gave mispar, the number, not of the but mispar, mifkat ha'am. Ki rachok etzli, the Ramban says, it's too far for me to assume that David was not careful about something that says so clearly in the pasuk. Vim ulai ta'a David, and even if David would have made the mistake, lama lo osa Yoav shkolim, why didn't Yoav do it with shkolim? The entire command of the king was an abomination to him. He didn't want to do it. So if he's going to do it already, does he have to do it the wrong way? Obviously, he did it the right way. Yoav doesn't even want to do it because he tells the king, why does my master want this? Why should it be a source of guilt for the Jewish people? So why can't Yoav count them with shkolim? Shelo yechata, so there's no sin. Avol lefi dati. Here comes the Ramban's approach to this parak. The Ramban says, lefi dati, in my opinion, haya haketzef olav bavur shemana'am shelo letzorech. The anger against the Jewish people was because David counted them unnecessarily. Shelo letzorech. Ki lo haya yotze lemelchama, he wasn't planning to go out to war then. There was nothing that he had to do at that particular time. Now, this is going to be based on a medrash, and this medrash is going to be extremely important. Because you'll see the medrash in a moment, and then you'll see its importance. So the Ramban says that what was wrong here was he counted them unnecessarily. There was absolutely no need for it. There was no crying need. They're not good. There's no mishal am taking place. There's not going to be a referendum. They're not going to vote. They're not going to war. David is doing this in order that his heart should have joy that he is king of such a great, a numerous people. That's exactly what Yoav is saying. What is Yoav's response? Yoav's response to David is, David let the Rebbein Shalom add to them many, many times over. Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Yoav el HaMelech v'Yosef Hashem Elokech el Ha'am Kehem v'Kehem Me'apamim. Let God add to them so much and so much, 100 times over. V'Einei Adoni HaMelech Ro'ot, and the eyes of my master the king should see it. V'Adoni HaMelech Lo Machafiz B'Davar Hazeh, my master the king, why do you want it? Let God add even many, many more to you. V'Adoni HaMelech, the Ramban brings a medrash that says the following. Rabbi Elazar b'shem Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra Omer, Rabbi Elazar, the name of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Zimra, says, Kol zman shenimnu Yisrael letzorach lo chasru. Whenever the Jewish people were counted and it was necessary, lo chasru, they did not lose any of their numbers. Shelo letzorach chasru. If they were counted unnecessarily, then they lost people. There was loss to the Jewish people as a result. That's very important. You know why that's important? That's obviously going to be important. For example, in the question, is a modern state of Israel permitted to take a census of the people or not? So now, once we have, this is of course one of the approaches, once we have this medrash, so the medrash is saying, if it's necessary, you know, what happens if we have to know the number of people who are of draft age? What happens if we have to know the number of people who are going to receive Bituach Lo'umi? We have to know how many beds there should be in hospitals in the country. Do you know what a census today does? A census is that which provides all of the information so that all of the social, medical, and other services of a country are going to be able to figure it out and calculate it. If you don't know the number of people throughout the country, the number of people in each particular area, you have to know their different age brackets. I mean, all of this is necessary in order to run a proper country. That is Litzorach. So in other words, one who's going to base it on this Ramban and this Medrash, so it makes a difference whether it's Litzorach or, as the Ramban says, David HaMelech's census was completely shelo Litzorach. It was completely unnecessary. He wasn't doing anything with the people at the time. There was nothing that necessitated it. Every modern census that's taken once every 10 years, and I think it's coming up next year, 96, I think, is going to be the next census, which of course means every 10 years, whenever the census comes up, there is all the articles that have been written in the last 50 years about whether a census is permitted or a census is prohibited, all of them will start surfacing again, and there will be, you know. Then, of course, there are other heterium for the census, because you're not really counting heads, you're counting pieces of paper, names on pieces of paper. And according to a number of the Rishonim, the census taken, one of the sensei taken, I've seen the word, it's sensei. One of the sensei taken was where people wrote down their names, b'mistar shemot. That's here in Bamidbar. The Abarbanel and other Mepharshim say, in Kitisa, when they were counted there, it said, clearly give a half a shekel. They gave a half a shekel. But the Abarbanel says that the two sensei of Bamidbar were done without half shekel. You know why they were done without half shekel? Because it was mispar shemot, they counted names. Everybody wrote down their name, and you know what you counted? You counted the names that were on a piece of paper. A lot of pieces of paper. Many, many pieces of paper. Which means here is another means by which a census can be done, and it's permitted, because nobody's standing around with it counting 1, 2, 3, 4. You're counting up the names that appear on the forms that have been filled out by the census takers. Back to the Ramban. The Ramban now brings the medrash that whenever they were counted litzorech, and there was a need for it, lo chasru, they didn't lose any people. Shelo litzorech chasru, if it was unnecessary, then they lost people. Eiz esman nimnu litzorech, when the medrash says, when Rabbi Yossi says, when were they counted litzorech out of necessity? Bimei Moshe u'pidgolim u'pichiluk haaretz. In the days of Moshe, when God divided them according to their camps, at the end of Bamidbar, b'chalukat haaretz, you had to know how many Jews there are in order to divide the land. In Parashat Pinchas, the census was for the purpose of to say at the end, la'ele techolek haaretz, to these people the land is going to be divided. Shelo letzorech, the Medrash says, when were they counted? Shelo letzorech, b'yimei David. And then the Ramban goes on and says there may have been another mistake that was made by David. And this is going to bring us soon into one a very beautiful idea. The Tachin Ode, he says, it is possible also, Shenefaresh ben Omar, that we will explain and say, Ki David Tziva Limnot Kol Ish Yisrael. Every census that was taken in the Torah was from age 20 and up. The census of David started at age 13. And that means that he is really counting all adult Jews. The Tzon Elama Ben Shlosh Esrei Shon of Amal from 13 and further, Shehu Ish, from the moment that he is called Ish. And that's what David is counting. Kol Ish Yisrael, all of the people of Israel. Ki lo nizkar b'minyano, in this chapter here in Shmuel, and the chapter is repeated again in Sefer Divrei Hayamim with some changes. Never once does it say that it is limited to Miben Esrim Shana Ramala, those age 20 and up, which means that he counted even those who were below the age of 20. Avol Amar, what did David say? Luchu Sifru et Yisrael, go count Israel, Ve'eda et Misparam, and I will know their number. Bezeh Haya Anshel, that's why he was punished. Because the Torah, even when it permits a census only from age 20 and up. One final. Now, the reason why David made a mistake, because that's something that's not written clearly in Torah that you should not count from age 13 and up. This is something already that could be left open. Yeah, no. The Ramban wants to avoid the idea that David made a mistake in something that is known to every child. By the way, it's important to know the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Rabbeinu Shem told him in advance, I'm going to cause you to stumble b'davar about such a thing, shafilu tinokot shel beit rabban yodimoto. You're going to make a mistake about something that even children in school would know not to do it. Huh? That's a Gemara in Brachas. I'll get to the Gemara. We have a lot of information to cover here today. Yes, Dara.
There's a lot of other counting in the Torah. And we have a lot of other numbers, but it's usually those that have died. In the sense of the numbers that appear...
What other numbers are you talking about?
After every Makif, they count the number of those that have died. 24,000 died here, 3,000 died
at the... That's not
counting...
Counting live people. Because it says that if you're going to count them incorrectly, they're going to die. Counting dead people... No problem at all. There's no prohibition whatsoever on counting bodies. None whatsoever. I want to read another Ramban, and this is a Ramban that appears in Parashat Korach. In Parashat Korach. And over here, it's one of the beautiful Rambans in Chumash for a number of the ideas that it expresses. This is in Parashat Korach. And in Parashat Korach, after the rebellion of Korach, it says that God spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, "He bodlu mitoch ha'edo hazot. Separate yourself from this community. And I'm going to destroy them immediately. Get away from them." Vayiplu al pnei and vayomru Moshe and Aaron fell upon their faces and they said, "El Elohei haruchot, the God of all spirit, l'chol basar, the God of all flesh, ha'ish echad yechata, one man is going to sin, v'al kol ha'edot tiktsof, and you're going to get angry with the entire community. What do you want from all of Israel?" That means, of course, that Moshe and Aaron understand that when God says he bodlu, separate yourself from the community, it means get away from the community of Israel. I'm going to destroy all of Israel. And therefore Moshe and Aaron say, one man sins and you want to destroy the entire community? Asks the Ramban, yesh lishol, we can ask him, Yisrael lo chatu v'lo mardu b'rabam lama haya haketzef aleim, if Jews were not the ones that rebelled against God and Moshe, who are the ones that rebelled? Korach. If Korach is the one who rebels, why is God angry at all of them? He bodlu mitoch ha'edah, separate yourself from this community. I'm going to destroy them all. And if we're going to say that Jews also were part of the rebellion, yes, Jews were being led by Korach against Moshe and Aaron, and in come Hamardu if they also rebelled, just as Korach and his community. How can Moshe and Aaron say, one man sins, God, and you're going to get angry with everybody? The Ramban is asking, what's happening over here? Either Israel sinned or Israel didn't sin. If Israel didn't sin, why does God want to destroy them? And if Israel did sin, then how can Moshe and Aaron come to their defense by saying, it's not their fault, it's only the fault of Korach? Says the Ramban, I mean it goes at length, but he really comes down to is he says the following. The greatness of a Jewish leader, the greatness of a Jewish leader is that he attempts to diminish the sin of the Jewish people. The Rebbe Shem doesn't want leaders who are going to come and count the sins of the Jewish people. What he wants is leaders who are going to say, Rebbe Shem, it's not so bad. And here are the few lines that I want to read in the Ramban. V'zu derech mevakshei rachamim. This is the way in which people ask for mercy. Sheyokelu hacheit me'al ha'am. They lighten or they lessen the sin from upon the people. V'notnim oto al hayachid hagoreim. And they place it upon the shoulders of the individual who is the cause of it all. The Ramban is really saying that Jews as a whole were having grave doubts about Moshe and Aaron as a result of the incitement of Korach. But in order to diminish and remove the burden of guilt from the Jewish people, they say, Rebbe Shem, what do you want? One man is guilty. Why are you going to punish an entire people? And he says, this is the way a real leader of his people will act. Yet, because the Yachid, the individual who incited them, the Ramban says, is guilty under all and any circumstances anyway. And he's going to have to be punished anyway. Let him already carry the punishment for them all. And they place it upon the individual who caused it in nature. Under all circumstances, he's going to be held responsible. V'chein Omar David. It's so fascinating how the Ramban will take you from Korach, a pasuk in Korach, to a pasuk in this chapter. V'chein Omar David. This is what David says in the middle of our chapter. He's going to cite the passage where David says that it's all Vayach Lev David Oto Acharei passage 10 Vayomer David Al Hashem Chotasi Miod. Asher Osisi, I have sinned greatly. Va'ata Hashem, haver no avon avdecha. Remove the sin of your servant. He's taking all the responsibility upon himself. And in another place, David says, "Ne'anochi chatati, va'anochi ha'aveti." I sinned and I acted incorrectly. Ve'ele hatzon me'osu. What did these sheep do? Let your hand go out against me and against my father's house, that he had said earlier when there was a famine in the land. What do you want from them? Let your punishment come out against me. And the Ramban says that the fact is that the people here were guilty as well as David. They knew the halacha that you should give shkalim just like David did, just as Yoav did. People should have refused to be counted until they gave a shekel. The truth is everybody is guilty. Except that a real leader of his people assumes the guilt upon himself. Because remember, he says, the king never commanded them, don't give shkalim. So Jews could have given shkalim.
Did he say they did give shkalim?
No. That was our question. That was a question that the Ramban asked earlier. Why didn't Yoav ask for them to give shkalim? The end was, in one shot, the Ramban said, yes, they did indeed give shkalim, because it said, mispar, mifkad, ha'am. Now, the Ramban is going according to a number of different possibilities, but watch the point that he's coming to. The point that he's coming to is something new and different. point that he's coming to over here is the following. The first question that arises at the very beginning of the chapter. And God continued to be angry with the Jewish people. It means all of what happened in this chapter was the result of something that God had been angry with the Jewish people about from before. Vayosef af Hashem lacharod b'Yisrael. And he brings the Rashi. I read to you the last Rashi. Last week, I read to you the first Rashi in this chapter. One of course, in a certain respect, it's a great Rashi. The chapter begins by Yosef af Hashem lacharod b'Yisrael. God gets more angry with the Jewish people. It means he had been angry before, and now he's more angry. Says Rashi, Lo yadati alma, I don't know what God is angry about. Now, I imagine if I would have been Rashi, I would have written nothing. I have to admit my ignorance, but what does it say? Rashi is honest. Rashi is troubled. God is angry with the Jewish people about something, and Rashi says, Lo yadati alma, I don't know about what. If there would have been a medrash, Rashi would have quoted it. Here the Ramban comes up, and this, I believe, is a famous Ramban, and if it wasn't famous till now to you, it's going to be famous now. He quotes the Rashi, the Katav Sham Rashi. Rashi wrote, Lo yadati, I don't know what God was angry about. Vani omer b'derech svara. I say, from logic, Shehaya onesh al Yisrael, this was a punishment for the Jewish people, b'hit acher binyan bet habechira, that they had delayed the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. 350 years had passed, and there wasn't a movement amongst Klal Yisrael, a movement called Chai V'Kayam, or the movement L'Kinun HaMikdash, a movement for the establishment of the Beit HaMikdash. It was a mitzvah in Torah. One of the three mitzvahs that they had when they came into Eretz Yisrael was L'manot lahem melech, to appoint a king, to destroy Amalek, Livnot lahem bet ha-bekira, to build the Bet HaMikdash. Just when you finished off. Shehayonesh al Yisrael, there was a punishment for Israel, behit acher binyan bet ha-bekira, that they delayed the construction of the Bet HaMikdash. Shehayah aron holeich may ohel el ohel tiger paretz. The Aron HaKodesh was going from one tent to another tent, as though the Aron was a stranger in the land. Vein hashvatim mitoririm lomar, and none of the tribes were awakened to say nidroshet Hashem v'nivneh habayit lishmo, and we're going to build a Bet HaMikdash. Why weren't there demonstrators in the streets of Eretz Yisrael saying we want Beis HaMikdash? Now the time has come to build a Bet HaMikdash. How long is God going to remain in some kind of tent while we go ahead and we build for ourselves all sorts of beautiful permanent homes? As it says in Torah, L'shichna, where he dwells, did Tidrishu, you should seek out the place that he dwells, Ubata Shama. And who was the first one to, David is the one who in chapter 7 in this, in Shmuel Bet says, he turns to God and he says, why, how long will I live in a house made of cedar and God is going to be in the tent? And Natan HaNavi tells him, do exactly what you want to do. Great idea to build the Bet HaMikdash. And in the middle of that night, God appears to Natan and he tells him, no. David cannot build the Bet HaMikdash. And one of the reasons why he cannot build the Bet HaMikdash is because Dam L'Rov Shafachta, you are a man of war. You've spilled much blood. There are still wars to be waged. Says the Ramban, that would not have been an excuse. Because if the people would have said, we want to build the Bet HaMikdash, it could have been built in David's time too, because then it would be the people who are building it, not David. If the people would get out into the streets, hundreds of thousands of Jews in the streets saying, we want the Bet HaMikdash, so who would be considered the builders? The builders would be the Jewish people, and that therefore, it would not mean that David is the one who built it. David as an individual cannot build it, because he was the only one who asked for it. So God said, no, you can't do it. Yes, but you don't understand something. You know what you don't understand, Sarah? The power of the people. The power of the people are able to overcome even what Nassan HaNavi said and what God said. If the people go out there and say, we want the Beis HaMikdash now, and we don't care what Nassan HaNavi said. All right? You let me read the words in the Rambam to you. It's greater than the power of God. We can bring God to destroy a gzardin. Kroag avinu malkeinu, kraroa gzardinenu. We call upon God that He tear up the gzardin, the edict against the Jewish people. With prayer, we can do it. Absolutely, the power of the people's prayer is more powerful than the prophet's prophecy.
And how does the Yom know that? From where?
Because it's a mitzvah in Torah. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. And if it's a mitzvah upon Klal Yisrael to build a Beit HaMikdash, then Jews should demand the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Let me read the words of the Ramban. Vayomer HaMelech al Natan HaNavi, the king said to Natan, I'm living in a house of cedar, and the Aron HaLakim is in a tent. V'hine David, Mina'o Hashem Yidbarach, God withheld David from doing it because he said, "Damim rabim shafachta, you spilled much blood." Vinit acher od hapinyan, and the construction of the Beis Hamikdash continued to be delayed ad meloch Shlomo, until Shlomo would be king. The ilu hoyu Yisrael chafetzim b'davar, if Israel would have wanted it, vinit oreru bo mitchila, and they would have been aroused and awakened to it at first. It could have been done in the days of one of the Shoftim, or be made Shol, or in the days of Shol, or Gam be made David. It could even have been in the days of David. Because if the tribes of Israel would have been aroused and awakened to it, lo hayahu aboneh, he would not be the builder. Abo Yisrael, heim hayu abonim. Jews would be the builders of the Beit HaMikdash. Abo kasher ha'am lo hishgichu, but since the people didn't care, the David who hamashgiach, the hamit orer, he was the one who cares, and he was the one who raises the issue. V'hu hamevin hakol, and he's the one who understands the necessity of it. Hu hayahabone, then he would have been the builder. V'hu ish mishpat u'machazit b'midat hadin, and he couldn't be the one. He couldn't be the one to do it. So therefore, the Ramban says that there was a lingering anger that God had with the Jewish people. And it came to the fore. Now, all of these years, 350 years passed, and there is no movement to establish a Beit HaMikdash. No movement to establish it. So the Ramban, the Ramban is explaining the Vayosef Af Hashem Lacharot B'Yisrael. In another place, well, it'd be Abarbanel and the Ralbag give another answer to the Vayosef Av Hashem Lacharot B'Yisrael. And they related to chapter 23, the very end, most of chapter 23, and the end of chapter 23. What's the last pasuk in 23? The last pasuk in 23 was Uriah Hachiti Kol Shloshim V'Shiva, the 37 mighty warriors of David. I don't have my current Tanakh, so I don't know what to do with it. The Ralbag and the Abarbanel say that the sin of David was, he wanted a census, and the purpose of the census represented the idea that he saw strength and might in numbers. And therefore, this, in a sense, is a rejection of God as the protector of Israel, but it represents the idea of Kochi va'otzam yadi, my strength and my might have done all of this for me. By virtue of the fact that he counts them, and you see, according to the Abarbanel and the Ralbag, the Abarbanel says that only the first counting had to be done with a half shekel. All the other counting didn't have to be done with half a shekel. So therefore, the half shekel was not the problem here at all, according to the Abarbanel. There was no necessity for a half a shekel. The problem of the census over here was, what was its purpose? What did David want to gain from it? What David wanted to gain, it seems, was the strength of numbers. He wanted to know how many divisions does David HaMelech have. And so therefore the Arba'al Benel and the Ralbag say that here was a lack of bitachon on David's part. Now, I failed to mention, I'm going to take you back, we had learned just a moment ago the Ramban, where the Ramban says God's anger, I'm running from Uncle. Let me finish the Arba'al Benel and the Ralbag. There's so much to say over you to see. I will not have you confused by the end of class. It'll be clear. The Arba'al Benel and the Ralbag who says that the census represented David in some way. I didn't want to say in some sense, even though that would have made sense to say that in some sense the problem with the census was that David seemed to be placing trust in his forces, in his people, in his army. That would explain why this follows immediately after chapter 23. Chapter 23, they end up by listing the 37 Giborim, the 37 mighty ones of David. So the first pasuk in this chapter immediately says, Vayosef af Hashem, the anger of God went out again against Israel, because here they had just finished listing the 37 mighty warriors of David. Which represents also the possibility that the error could be made, that there is strength in strength. And we believe not so, but there is strength in God. So following on the heels of the listing of the 37 comes this parak. Yes?
That wouldn't fit in with those who say that he comes to all the people who are 13 years old.
That's certainly good, because on the contrary, he saw greater strength in greater numbers.
Wait a minute.
The Ramban that I said before says that God's anger goes out against the Jewish people. Why? Because they had not asked, they hadn't begun a movement in 350 years for the construction of the Beth Hamikdash. The beauty in the chat of the Ramban, of course, is we therefore understand the second half of the chapter. What is the second half of the chapter? Where the plague comes upon the Jewish people, and David sees the angel of death where? Over the Temple Mount. And what's the second half of the parak? That he buys the Temple Mount from Arav Mahayavusi. In other words, the Magefa, the plague stops when the first positive steps are taken for the construction of the Beth Hamikdash. Therein lies the real beauty of the chat of the Ramban. Because here it is. It stops at the moment that they begin to do that which is necessary in order to build the Beth Hamikdash. That's how the Sefer ends. The Sefer ends with the purchase of that Goren Aravne HaYavusi, the silo of Aravne HaYavusi, which is the Temple Mount. I think it's worthwhile the zikro of a great man. This is Amud HaYemini. This is a sefer that was written by Rav Shaul Yisraeli, the Tzadik Levracha, and he has a tshuva, a response here on the question of are you committed to take a census. I'm not going to go into the whole tshuva that he brings a tremendous number of sources, Rashi, Ramban, Gemaras, but there is an idea that he expresses, and this is, and he does it so beautifully. So listen, Zecha Nishmasa. He brings the Gemara that says the following. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says that Rabbi Yonatan asked a question. We had started this year by quoting a pasuk in Hosea, where Hosea says, V'hayom yispar b'nei Yisrael, the number of the children of Israel will be kechol hayam, like the sand at the seashore. Asher lo yimad, the lo yisafer, that cannot be measured and cannot be counted. So he divides the, Rabbi Yonatan divides the passage in two. It says, on the one hand it says, V'hayom yispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayam, the number of the Jewish people shall be kechol hayam, like the sand on the seashore. Does that mean that they do have a number? Yes, certain limit. It may be a lot, it will be kechol hayam, but for hayam mispar there will be a number.
The second half of the prophet says, Asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer, that cannot be measured and cannot be counted. Now make up your mind. Is there a number or isn't there a number? The first half of the prophet says, V'yom yispar, that there is a number. And the second half of the prophet says, Asher lo yisafer, that cannot be counted. And this is the Gemara, lo pasha. Tam bizman, she Yisrael osim yitzom osomakam. Tam bizman, she ain osim yitzom osomakam. When Jews do the will of God, they are lo yisafer, without number. When Jews don't do the will of God, then there is a number. There are certain limitations. In other words, they can be infinite, or they can be finite. If they do the will of God, they're an infinite people. If they don't do the will of God, they are finite. The Shaul Yisraeli is concerned about the this drasha, because the fact is, what really you should do, really have to read the pasuk without interruption. If you read the pasuk without interruption, there's really no problem between the two halves of the pasuk. For Hayom Yisrael B'nei Yisrael Yechol Hayom, the number of the children of Israel are going to be so much that you won't be able to count them. That's really what the pasuk says. So what is Rabbi Yonatan telling us? Here it's when they do the will of God, here where they don't do the will of God. Says Rav Shaul Yisraeli the following, and I may even quote a few of his sentences so you can hear the beauty of how he expresses it. He says the following. Rav Yonatan here wants to explain to us the reasoning behind the prohibition of counting the Jewish people. And in order to make this more logical, that one should understand it, because really, it would seem as a strange law. Why can't you count the Jewish people? What's even more difficult is, remember the Pasuk in Pasuk Kitisa had said that if you count the Jewish people, there will be a plague. Why should some technical matter bring about a plague? I mean, so you count them. Why should counting bring plague? I mean, what's the terrible, terrible out there? Why does one lead to the other? What's the danger in counting people? What's the terrible avera in counting people? We're going to hear other opinions aside from Rav Shaul Yisraeli, but this is a very beautiful one. What does counting do anyway? Counting really only reveals to us the facts that are there. In other words, there are 5 million people there. I just don't know it. So now I've taken the technical steps in order to reveal what, in fact, is true out there. Says Rav Shaul Yisraeli, the prohibition against counting the Jewish people comes to tell you that herein lies the great struggle between Jews and nations of the world throughout all of history. The Gemara refers to the Jewish people as Kivsa Achas, one Shepsala, one sheep surrounded by 70 wolves. What is being expressed by the Gemara, therefore, is the idea that first father was, patriarch was Avraham HaIvri. Why was he called Avraham HaIvri, the Hebrew? Kol HaOlam, the whole world is Be'ever Echad on one side, and Avraham is on the other side. What this means, therefore, is Avram is unconcerned with what the majority of the world says. He's unimpressed by the majority of the world. Numbers don't make a difference to him. In other words, if one would have taken a poll at the times of Avram, the poll would have showed that 99.99% of the people disagree with Avram. And there's one man, Avram, who's walking the world bringing a message that there is an invisible God who not only created the world, but he is also the God who runs the world. And his divine providence and his grace is that which continues the world's existence. The Rabbeinu Shem in Sefer Devarim says the same thing to Klal Yisrael. Lo meiru b'chem mikol ha'amim chashakach Hashem b'chem. God did not choose or desire you because you are the majority of people. On the contrary, he chose you ki atem hamaat, because you are the smallest of people on the face of this earth. Which means that in any clash throughout history, between the nations of the world and Israel, it was the nations of the world who always stressed the idea of numbers. And Jews always said, numbers make absolutely no difference at all. If numbers would make a difference, then we simply should have gone out of business because the whole world is against us. Which means, therefore, if it's a question of quantity or quality, the nations of the world throughout history said, quantity is that which prevails and which makes the decision where truth lies. And the Jewish people have been saying throughout history, no, quantity is unimpressive as far as we are concerned. What is impressive as far as we are concerned is quality. So therefore, throughout history, Jews have always placed stress and emphasis on quality. We don't count truth or lack of truth. We don't count it or weigh it and measure it according to numbers. The Meraglim, there were 10 against 2. Yehoshua and Kalev are opposed to the majority, an overwhelming majority. Yet the truth, of course, lies with Yehoshua and Kalev, and not with the rest. If Jews would have placed emphasis on numbers or on quality, we would have always lost throughout history. We wouldn't have won a single struggle in history. We would have been finished from the very start. Therefore, what really is the secret of Jewish survival and existence is, we're not frightened by numbers. What does make a difference to us is the emunah, faith, Jewish spirit, huh? Truth, emet, very good. So he says the V'hayom Mispar B'nei Yisrael, it's true that there is a number. Even what we consider the stars as being infinite, so it says Hamotzi B'mispar Tzva'am L'kulam Shem Yidra, even the stars have a number. So the thing is like this, V'hayom Mispar B'nei Yisrael, so he says like this. When do you place stress on numbers? When do you say, V'hayom Mispar, there is a number to the Jewish people? Only if you are living in a period of time where you think that numbers make a difference. Do you know when Jews think that numbers make a difference? K'she'ein osin ritzono shalmakam. When they don't do the will of God, then they look at the first half of the pasuk and they say, Jews have a number. We're a lot, we're strong, we will be able to prevail and overcome. When Jews do the will of God, they are totally unconcerned about numbers. And then you know what they say? Lo yimad v'lo yisafer, not measured, not counted. We're not interested in counting the Jewish people. We're not interested in counting the Jewish people. So therefore, Avshal Yisrael explains the two parts of the psukim represent two approaches. V'hayom Mispar, when you look at the numbers, that has got to be at a time when Jews are not doing the will of God, when they are placing their faith and trust in the number of planes and the number of tanks and in the number of weapons and in the number of missiles. That can only be k'she'ein osin v'tzano samakom, when they don't do the will of God. When they do the will of God, lo yimad v'lo yisafer, it makes no difference what the measure is, it makes no difference what the number is. We will prevail even if we have less planes and we have less tanks and we have less people.
We've seen it in the wars throughout the 50 years. The state of Israel.
Except now. Now all of a sudden there is fear of numbers. We are going to be overcome. The demographics will destroy us. The demographics. Peres even yesterday spoke about the birth rate of the Arab population. We're going to be overwhelmed and swamped with. He should have also been aware of the fact that the Arabs are concerned not only with, you know, not only their birth rate, but they make certain to diminish the number of Jews every so often. They get rid of a few and they cut down the numbers. But that's only your concern. The concern and the worry about demographics is only kishein osin mitzano shel makom, when Jews don't do the will of God. But when Jews do the will of God and they say, this is our land and it was given to us by God and we are going to settle in over here and claim, stake our claim, then lo yinad v'lo yisafer, it doesn't make any difference what our numbers are, we will be able to prevail. So this is how Rav Shaul Yisraeli explains the idea of what's wrong with counting Jews. It's not merely something technical. Counting represents the idea that we care about numbers, and we should never care about numbers. If we would have cared about numbers throughout history, we would have been nowhere. We would know. If we care about counting, we wouldn't count at all. Do I have to say that again?
Very clever.
Right, but it took about 5 seconds to get it. The truth is, now that I think of it, the pun is really a pasuk. Am levodad yishkon, a people that dwells alone, who by goyim lo yitchashav, and they are not computed or counted amongst the nations of the world. I'm going to get to that pasuk later. I'm going to get to that pasuk. That's a pasuk in Mi mona afar Yaakov umispar rova Yisrael. That's what Bilam says. Who counts the number of her? No, but that's another pasuk. Bahanchel Zechor Yom Solam Binu Shnos Dor Vador Shalov Ichov Yagedchol Zekinecha V'Yom Belach Bahanchel Elyon Goyim L'Mispar B'nei Yisrael. God gave the nations, the countries of the world, to the nations of the world, all L'Mispar B'nei Yisrael, according to the number of the children of Israel. That's beautiful, because what it's saying over there is we don't have to worry about our number. God has apportioned the lands on the face of this earth according to the number of the people of Israel. They're going to get their land, and everybody else will have their own lands. That's in Hazinu. Tov Me'od. Yes.
It's not the same at all, but it's ironic today we're talking about numbers, and the radio is also counting Jews today.
Yeah, today there's going to be a number. I don't even know what happens if it's Teiku 60-60, so then Shevach Weiss is able to...
No, it doesn't pass.
It doesn't pass if it's... No. The Gemara says the following: Shalosh mitzvos nitzavu Yisrael. Three mitzvos the Jewish people were commanded. The eight knisatam la'aretz, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Lemanot lahem melech, to appoint a king. Lahachvit zaro shel amalek, to destroy the seed of Amalek. Livnot lahem bet habechira, to build unto themselves bet habechira. By the way, it says that the mitzvah is on the people. It's on the people. It's on the people.
So the mitzvah is not on the melech. He just has the mitzvah to write a sefer Torah,
not to have more than a specified number of wives, not to have too many horses. I didn't want to say them and say, no, they're just following. The Maldin. Everybody, of course, you know, has their own approach, and it's so beautiful to see the approach of each one. We've seen the honesty of Rashi, and the honesty of Rashi, by the way, when Rashi says, Lo yadati alma, I don't know why God was angry with them, it means that whatever pshat anybody is going to say why God was angry with them is speculation. Now, there can be more logical speculation and less logical speculation. But if Rashi says, I don't know, it may very well mean that there are a number of possibilities. And as long as these possibilities are not clearly stated by our rabbis, Rashi doesn't mention it. It doesn't mean that necessarily that Rashi disagrees with the Ramban. The Maldim. Maldim always has his own approach to the way he looks at things. And there are, the Maldim always, his approach always is rooted in the words. And here, he notices something. He's absolutely right. says there are four different words that are used to describe counting. Huh? Limnot, lispar, lifkod. Huh? The two of you over there? I tell you. I mean, I'm sure that everybody else, you got two and you got two. Limnot, lispar, lifkod, and lasate. Noso et rosh b'nei Yisrael. Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. Says the Malbim the following. He explains the main point that is made by the Malbim is, in the two chapters that deal with the census, the chapter here and the chapter in Divrei Hayamim, three of the four words are used. One is not. The one that is not is the word ki tisa, or lasate, or naso, is not used. The words that are used are minyan, mispar, and mifkad. Mispar, mifkad ha'am. And what does David say? Leich minei atam, go count. Says the Malbim the following. Lispar means the act of counting 1, 2, 3, 4. Misparim are numbers. Go ahead, where else do you have it? Usfartim lachem mima. You count sphira. You count the omer. A woman who counts her 7 days. Vesof rala. The 7 clean days. Lispar means to count. The mifkad is after you've counted the individual numbers and then you arrive at a schum kolel, you tally the total is mifkad. What does Yoav bring to David? Mispar, mifkad, ha'am. The mispar, after you have the mispar, then you add them up, you have the mifkad, the sach hakol, the total. The verb mano, or linot, to count, usually refers to counting something that you know how many are already there. You know the number.
To make certain
that nothing is missing, you count them. A number of places in Chumash, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu moneh, God counts the Jewish people at all time, and after every time there was a crisis, he'd count them to make sure that they were not missing any, or if there were Jews who were missing, that he would fill the empty places. Hamoneh b'mispar tzva'am, he counts the stars. He knows how many stars there are, but he counts them to make sure that none are missing. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei talks about Chesron lo yuchal lehimanot. When there is something missing, you cannot count it, because you count it, you're going to come up with that which is missing. Naso is not used over here. What does naso mean? Naso always means to raise and uplift. When the purpose of counting was in order to raise and uplift the Jewish people, you use the word naso. When God in Parashat Ki Tisa says to count them, they're being counted as God's people, the ones who are going to build the Mishkan. By David, they are not being counted in order to be raised and uplifted. They are being counted for a very specific reason. And here comes the pshat of the Malbim in this whole story. And it therefore points out where the anger of God was against the Jewish people. He said, if you go through, from the beginning of the David as Melech, and even before, there was never a standing army by the Jewish people. Every time he went out, he had to go out to war. In the days of Shaul and the days of David, he had to go out to war. Then the king would send out the word, we need warriors, and people would come and join the ranks. In the days of the knights, the same thing was so, you know. He didn't have a standing army. And every time he called upon people to join him, they joined him. And there are a number of times where Shaul counted the number of people that were with him and the number of people from the tribe of Yehuda. They counted the people. But something has gone wrong now. What's gone wrong now is there have been two rebellions where many Jews joined the forces against David. The rebellion of Avshalom, and then there was also the chapter, the story of Sheva ben Bichri. Many Jews followed Sheva ben Bichri. Which means now at this crucial stage in David HaMelech's life, he finds himself in a position where he can no longer depend on just sending riders through the city saying, hear ye, the king wants people to come and join the colors. Can't depend on that anymore, because there are Jews who have betrayed him in their hundreds of thousands. So what David HaMelech wants to do now is, he wants to get a census, and a census not only of those from age 20 and up, he wants a census now starting possibly from birth, so that they'll know that when somebody arrives at age 20, that's going to be his age of Gius. That's when he's going to have to be called into the army. He's not going to be able to depend anymore on the volunteer army. There's going to have to be national conscription. And therein lies all of the anger. The fact that Yosef, Hashem, Lacharot, Yisrael, God is angry with Israel. You know why God is angry with Israel? Because Jews have betrayed the house of David. What God is punishing them now for is not any sin that David is going to commit by counting them. According to the Malbim, they're being counted now, Litzorech, this is necessary. Jews have to have an army. David is counting them because he knows that he can't count on them to simply join the banner of David anymore, because there are those who have gone off in other directions. There's a crisis in Klal Yisrael, and the crisis in Klal Yisrael that forces David to count them and have a register of everybody who's born and how old they are and where they live. I wouldn't be a bit surprised they were given numbers, so that if necessary, David knows whom he can press into service. So why does he have to count them? He has to count them because Jews have been disloyal to Malchus Beis David. The Malbim sees it as a political necessity. There's no war now, but he can't be certain what will happen in the event that there's going to be attack. Where is he going to get his forces from? He doesn't know who's loyal to him anymore. This disloyalty to the house of David, that's the sin of the Jewish people. God is angry again with Israel, because of events that happened only now toward the end of Sefer Shmuel. The rebellion of Avshalom and the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. Here is where Jews simply became disloyal to David. And it's because of that David is forced into a position where he must count the Jewish people. He has to know whom he can call when necessary. So God's anger is therefore against the Jewish people, and it's a justified anger. David HaMelech, we can still say, according to the Ramban, takes the guilt all upon himself. Maybe he is unworthy, and therefore they are not following him. The kapara and the forgiveness is going to come by virtue of the fact that they're going to have to bring korbanot ola ushlamim in order to find forgiveness for their rebelliousness against the house of God. So here we have
how does counting the Jews tell them who will be loyal to him? He has to call up an army, so doesn't even know which.
No, now it doesn't matter, because now it's becoming the law of the land. He is making it the law of the land. He's changing the rules of the game. And therefore, if you're not going to, anybody who's going to refuse to come is now going to be, I can't use the two dirty words, he's going to be Misarev Pekudah, he's going to refuse to obey orders. That's what it's going to be. You know, the time of an army, a volunteer army, is over. And this has happened in many countries during the course of this century. A volunteer army will no longer supply the people that they need. And therefore, army is going to have to be raised by conscription. And the only reason why this becomes necessary is because of the disloyalty to the house of David. And the disloyalty to the house of David is that which they are being condemned for. Isn't it therefore possible that if the Ramban says what God is angry about them is that they did not perform the third mitzvah of Livnot Lehem Bet HaBechirah, to build the Bet HaMikdash, do you know what the Malbim is saying? They have transgressed the very first mitzvah, L'manot Lehem Melech, to appoint a king. To appoint a king means that the fear of the king must be upon you, and you have to remain loyal to the king. Next week, Yemirat Hashem, is going to be the last class for the year. We'll talk about when the new year will start and all of those things. We'll go through a little bit more in this chapter. and go back to the chapter before, and we will have done it there. Yeah? Yes, Hashem, Gesundheit. Yes.
Can you have both the Torah and a half shekel, or is either one of them?
You need what?
Both a Torah and a half shekel.
I may deal with that next week. Because that's already, that brings us to the question of the halacha. And I only began